Father God, we just commit this time into your hands, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are with us. We have felt your presence right from the beginning of the service till now. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to be with us, Lord. Continue to speak to us, minister unto us, Lord Father. We just surrender ourselves into your hands. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some time back, in fact, 3 weeks back, I stood here and started with a lesson in history. I hope you remember that. Well, today I'm going on to another lesson. But this time it's going to be from geography. Okay, I'm moving from history to geography. So, let me start by asking you a question. Is there anyone here who knows where the Siachen Glacier is? You heard the Siachen Glacier? Yes, there are a couple of people. Who's going to tell me, where is it? Yes, brother. Yep, it's in the Himalayas. A glacier is a large moving mass of ice. Now, the Siachen Glacier is the second largest mass of moving ice in the world, and it is found in the Himalayas. There is another question that follows. Have you heard of another glacier called the Rhone Glacier? Rhone Glacier. Anybody heard of that? Okay. The Rhone Glacier is found in the Alps of Europe. It's between Germany and Switzerland in an area which is called the Black Forest. It's not a very large glacier. But it still is a moving mass of ice. Now, from this Rhone Glacier arise three streams of rivers. There is one which goes to the north. The stream which goes to the north flows into the Rhine River and then proceeds to the North Sea. There is a stream which proceeds to the east, which joins with the Danube River and goes in through 12 nations of Europe to end in the Black Sea. And there is yet another stream from the south, which meanders through a few other countries and ends in the Mediterranean Ocean or Mediterranean Sea. An interesting thing is that if you were standing on the Rhone Glacier with a small wooden boat in your hand, and you walked to the north and dropped that boat into the stream which drains out into the Rhine, this boat will find its way to the North Sea. Instead, if you walked a little bit to the east and dropped your boat into the waters which go into the Danube, the boat will go through 12 nations and end up in the Black Sea. But if you said, no, I'm going to walk south, and drop this boat into the stream which goes south, the boat will now go into the Rhone River, and through the Rhone River, it will reach the Mediterranean Sea. Now, the thing is this. Where are you going to drop the boat? That is your choice. The choice of where you want to drop the boat is entirely up to you. Do you want to drop it in the north, where it will go into the cold, uninviting waters of the North Sea? Do you want to drop it into the Danube River, where at the end of it, it will go into a freedom-restricted area in the Black Sea? Or would you choose to drop it into the waters which will drain into the Mediterranean Sea, which are cool, inviting, and an excellent place to spend your vacation? The decision of where you're going to drop that boat is entirely yours. Life is all about choices. Every day we make choices. There's nothing that happens in our life that is not a result of a choice. Brother Mike has made a choice. And he's told you why he's made that choice. This morning, before coming here, you made a choice whether to get out of bed or not. The choice was yours. It's your bed. You could just as well have stayed on. That's your choice. And so you find that if you actually go through a study of choices, you'll see that choices are divided into three subtypes. The minor choices, the major choices, and the mandatory choice. Now, minor choices have no lasting consequence. But you will find that this is the place where we spend most of our time. But it has absolutely no actual lasting consequence. Let me give you some examples. The dress, the suit you chose to wear today, it's your choice. You might have looked into your bureau or wherever you hang your clothes, and then you said, can I take this or this? No, I'll take this. No, I'll take that. It's a choice.
But does it really have any consequence which dress you wear? I stood this morning, picked up my brown pants, and then I walked over to the drawer where I keep my ties. And the problem with too many is it takes time to choose. So I looked and said, okay, which tie am I going to take? Am I going to take a tie which matches? Am I going to take a tie with contrast? And I spent time finally deciding on this tie. But does it really matter? I could just as well have taken a blue color tie. I would have looked like a joker. Doesn't matter. It's of no consequence. I could have taken a yellow color tie, a bright yellow tie, which would probably have made you focus the rest of the 45 minutes on the tie. Okay. But is it of any consequence? No. Whether you choose to buy an Apple iPhone 6 Plus or a Samsung Galaxy S7 Edge, it really doesn't matter. It's just a device which is going to last you for about 2.5 years.
By which time, your itching fingers will like to go to the next edge or the next plus. Okay, but does it really matter? You could still call up your friends, you could still WhatsApp your friends, you could still check the internet, whether it is this phone or that phone. Is it of any consequence? It isn't. But these are minor choices that we make almost every moment. And you see that we spend a lot of time on these minor choices, which have no consequences. So then we have the major choices. Major choices are decisions that you take that have consequences. For example, choosing a career, choosing a spouse, choosing your friends, choosing how you treat your body. Do you exercise? Do you take the right food? Do you load yourself with junk food? It's up to you. It's a choice. But it has long-term consequences. You don't exercise at the right time of life, you end up with problems a few years down the line when it really is a little too late to do too much about that. You make wrong decisions as far as your career is concerned, it's going to be quite a bit of a challenge to then move out onto something else. So these are decisions where we may not be spending too much time thinking about it or praying about it, but they have lasting consequences. So these are major choices. They have lasting implications upon our life. Not spending enough time in the presence of God may have resulted in many of these wrong choices that we might have made. But believe me, it is still not too late to ask God to change things around. Because God can always change things. Your career can still flourish. Your marriage can prosper. And you can still have godly friends. But the choice of going into the presence of God and asking Him to make a change, be it your career, be it your family relationships or whatever is happening, that choice is entirely yours. You have got to take that step. I've got to take that step. These are major issues in our life on earth. But our decision to seek God's face lies with us. That's a choice you and I have to take. See, these are choices that we make every day. And we have a lot of other choices that we have to make every day. Whether we wish to live and experience God's blessings or just give up, curse God and die, is a choice that you and I have to take. Winston Churchill once said, "Destiny is not a matter of random chance. It is a matter of personal choice. The choice you make determines your destiny. And you must decide whether your choice is right in the sight of God and is in alignment with His plans for you." How often have we read this verse? So please open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. And I will quote from the New International Version, where it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." If this is a verse that we have read again and again, or heard again and again, then why do we doubt it by creating our own plans that are clearly not in alignment with God's plans? You see, all the plans of God in the Bible, if you read them, and all the promises in the Bible that we get week after week, and sometimes some of us get them day after day, are promises with a hope and a future. Every plan of God for His children is to build them up. It's God's plans for you to prosper. I have never read in the Bible that God has plans for you to go down the drain. There is nothing in the Bible to say that God is a bear to pull you down, to use stock market language. He's a bull to push you up, always. So why do we doubt Him? Why aren't our plans always in line, in alignment with His plans? Why do our plans, which so often fail, yet so often take precedence in our life? We'll talk about that as we go on. So the first choice is a minor choice. The second is a major choice. But then there is a third choice, which is a mandatory choice. Now what is that? There's only one question here. And this is a choice of eternal consequence. What choice have you made? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? This is a mandatory choice. Minor choices are inconsequential. Major choices may have some implication, but that's all limited to life on earth. But the mandatory choice is the choice that you make which determines eternity. Have you made sure? Have you chosen the way to heaven, or are you meandering somewhere on the way to hell? Now, this may sound absurd, but the reality of it is simply that most of us do not spend adequate time thinking of this. If we are unsaved sinners, We have not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have not repented of our sins. We have not asked for forgiveness. We have not taken on board that Jesus is Lord of my life. So if we are unsaved sinners, we don't even think about our future till the last few minutes of our lives. Till then, we make choices that push us closer and closer and closer to hell. If we are saved souls, men and women who have accepted the Lord after repentance, many of us still continue to live our life as if our future is absolutely secure. I've accepted the Lord as Lord and Savior, therefore I can go and do what I want. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm sorry to say that isn't true. Because that's not what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that we have got to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We have got to work out our salvation every moment. Every moment there are traps in front of us. Traps which can pull us down. Traps which can lower the standard that is expected of you and me. The day you accepted Christ, you have beaten every world and Olympic record in high jump or in pole vault because you have set a standard that is so high above. But then the cares of the world and the temptations that are there and the little compromises that we make, which grow into big compromises, slowly reduce that high standard, and then we keep falling. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, where Paul clearly tells us that there is a constant spiritual battle that is being fought within us at all times. I shall read it from the New Living Translation. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. So Paul very clearly tells us that there is a battle that is still going on. And we have got to constantly be in connection with Christ. We have constantly got to recharge ourselves with Christ in order to be able to defeat this little head that rises itself once in a while. And just like we have to make choices, this issue of choices is not a new thing at all. 2,000 years back, when we read Matthew 27:22, Pilate had to make a choice. What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called Christ? That was his question. He had a choice to make. But all he did was wash his hands. Long before that, the Israelites faced a very tough situation. They had to choose between the living God or a dead idol, Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, it says, "And Elijah came to all the people and said, 'How long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him.' But the people answered him not a word." There was a choice to be made. Even before that, they had a very similar problem. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, where Joshua says this, "But if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Choice. There were choices that had to be made. Adam had to make a choice. Genesis 3 verse 6. Should he take that apple or not? Or should he take that fruit or not? Adam made a wrong choice. And as a result of that, we, many generations later, are still facing the consequence of that one choice. choices. Life is full of them. And making choices is not easy. You go through the Bible. Adam failed. Samson failed. Abraham made mistakes. David made mistakes. Joseph passed the test. And there are many other examples that you can get of people who made the right choices or made the wrong choices. Some stayed in the wrong choices. Judas made a wrong choice and stayed in that choice. Peter made a wrong choice, but asked for God's forgiveness and turned around. Now, what about you and me? What are the choices we make? Are they in line with God's plan or are they purely our plans? The choice you and I make has a bearing not just upon us, but upon our children and our children's children. Shall we open our Bibles and let's read certain passages from there. Isaiah chapter 30. And let's keep our Bibles open because this is where we're going to remain for the rest of the time. Isaiah chapter 30. And let us read verses 1 to 5. And I will read it from the New Living Translation. What sorrow awaits my rebellious children, says the Lord. You make plans that are contrary to mine. You make alliances not directed by my spirit, thus piling up your sins. For without consulting me, you have gone down to Egypt for help. You have put your trust in Pharaoh's protection. You have tried to hide in his shade. But by trusting Pharaoh, you will be humiliated, and by depending on him, you will be disgraced. For though his power extends to Zoan, and his officials have arrived in Hanes, all who trust in him will be ashamed. He will not help you. Instead, he will disgrace you. This is what is written in Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 5. These five verses very clearly describe the situation many of us find ourselves in. Simply because we have made wrong choices, inappropriate alliances, and ungodly decisions. God clearly indicates to us that He is unhappy that we have taken choices the way the world takes choices. We have made decisions the way the world makes decisions. God is clearly unhappy when He finds that His people make alliances with ungodly pagan people. God is clearly unhappy when we take decisions which are ungodly. That means we have not sought God's counsel. Time and again, if you read our Bible, we know that God has stated in different ways with different words that He will supply all our needs if we only choose to trust Him and obey Him. You're hearing a lot of if and when today, which just should remind you that this is part two of terms and conditions, which you heard last week. So the question that stares us in our face is simply this: why is it we choose not to trust God all the time and in every situation? Why? Is it because we think we know more than Him? Is it because we are impatient with Him and we want our results immediately? And believe me, it's becoming worse. We want our answers before sending out the question. You know, that's the situation we are in now. 100 years back, if you needed to send a message from one mountaintop to another mountaintop, it was smoke signals. Read stories of Red Indians and cowboys. You will get this. On one mountaintop, they have a blanket with some wood, and then you have the blanket going back and forth, and then the smoke signals keep coming up, and somebody sees it from the other mountaintop and deciphers what that is, and then gives a return message the same way. Okay, then you had other modes. Today, before you get a question on your WhatsApp, you've already sent the answer. And then the question comes, and then you realize that your answer does not fit that question. And so you send another answer. And that person on the other side has received an answer which is confusing because it doesn't fit with the question which he sent. So he now reframes another question, and there is chaos and confusion. Okay, but that's the way we are. You see, we have become so impatient. We want results immediately. We want results immediately. We have a test in the laboratory. It's an old test. Those of you who work in hospitals will know this. It's called the ESR. It's an erythrocyte sedimentation rate. Now, the whole test procedure requires that after you collect the blood, you put the blood into a long tube and keep the tube vertically on a stand and leave it stationary for 60 minutes. The result is always read at the end of 60 minutes. So you say ESR, 1 hour is this. And that's it. There is no other result. Okay, I've had people come up to me and say that, can you do it in 10 minutes? I said, no, not possible. They said, no, there is a way. I said, yeah, please tell me. No, this is new to me. Okay, I've been practicing this ESR for 30 years. Okay, I said, tell me, how do you do it? Take it for 10 minutes, multiplied by 6. Okay, instant results. Maybe that's why we don't trust God. Because God takes time. God takes time before He gives you the answer. Sometimes it's instant. Very often we wait. Is it because the pagan world has captured our imagination 6 days a week and we choose to give God His due only on one day, like today? You know, you've heard of submarine Christians, isn't it? One day a week, you're up. The rest of the days, the submarine is sunk right to the bottom of the ocean. Your Christian character is sunk. Nobody outside knows that you are a Christian. Because your submarine is right at the bottom. Your Christian values have been trampled underfoot right at the bottom of the ocean. But on Thursday evening, because it is announced every week, there is corporate intercession. The submarine starts rising up. Friday, it is here in church. Saturday, it prepares to dive in again. Is that the way we are? Is that the reason we have chosen not to trust God all the time in every situation, because the values of the pagan world have caught our imagination 6 days a week? Let's not stop there. Isaiah chapter 30, verses 23 to 26. This is what the Lord will do for us when we make right choices. Choices that are determined by His word. Choices that we make acknowledging that His plans are infinitely better than ours, and choices that are made on decisions to be obedient to the Lord. Let me read it out once again from the New Living Translation, verse 23. Then the Lord will bless you with rain at planting time. There will be wonderful harvests and plenty of pasture land for your livestock. The oxen and donkeys that till the ground will eat good grain, its chaff blown away by the wind. In that day when your enemies are slaughtered and the towers fall, there will be streams of water flowing down every mountain and hill. The moon will be as bright as the sun, and the sun will be 7 times brighter, like the light of 7 days in one. So it will be when the Lord begins to heal His people and cure the wounds He gave them. This is what will happen when you trust the Lord, when you obey the Lord implicitly. He takes care of your health. He takes care of your prosperity. He takes care of your family. He takes care of your children. He takes care of anything and everything that concerns you. That's our God. Our God, I think He's not good in math. He's not very good in math. Because His ratio of understanding is, if my child obeys me, everything that I have is His. That's His math. One thing from us, obedience. And God says, wow, my child obeys me. My child trusts me. What do I have in heaven? There, take it. It's all yours. Okay, that's what the Bible tells us. And that's what we experience also. But there are times when we fall and we say, is God really there? So, you know, it actually seems incomprehensible to me. Why do we make choices which are ungodly? When we know that all our godly choices bring us godly blessings. All our choices dependent on God bring us godly blessings. So then comes the issue. Maybe we don't know the steps to make godly choices. Maybe we are a little confused as to how to make good, right choices. Well, the answer is there in the Bible. It's there in Isaiah 30. So let's go back to it. Verses 18 to 22. These verses give us the steps to make. Wait for the Lord, wait on the Lord. Run helter. Is shows up. Point anyone who waits on Him to show up. Number 2, ask for His help. Ask, open your mouth, open your heart and ask the Lord for help. We ask others for help. We ask others to those days are gone. You don't need somebody else to be a mediator between you and God. The veil is torn. It's between you and you what to do. Be attentive. please say you went to Kaula. He said, no, we went to Kaula Hospital and we did this and we did that. I said, what is your experience? He refused to come down to tell us what is his experience. I had to actually not allow the others of the class that day to speak, because I went back and back and back to him and I was defeated. I could not get it out of him. Okay, but the point simply is that Romans 14:12 tells us each of us will give an account of himself. Not what you do as a team. Not the fact that you are part of Friday School ministry or praise and worship ministry or half a dozen other ministries. There is no teamwork at that point. It is selfie business. Okay? At that moment, as we see the choices we made during life flash before our eyes like a movie film, it will be too late to undo many of the bad choices we might have made. Our hope, therefore, is to see that we make the right choices now. God wants you to be a winner, not a whiner. You are meant to be a champion. And you can be a champion if you choose to make the right choices at the right time. You have got to become, I have got to become, our way of life has got to be, I am a champion by choice. I am not a champion by chance. I am a champion by choice. Four swimmers in the Rio Olympics won medals. Swimmers in the relay team. Then they alleged that they were robbed at gunpoint. The sympathy lay with the swimmers. Yesterday night and today morning, the news has changed. There was no robbery. They said that to cover up an act of vandalism, which they did. Two days back, champions by the side of the pool. The whole world was looking at them and saying, what great swimmers. Today, issue of choices, not a frivolous issue. It should be a serious it and apply it into our life. So let us not take any of these choices that we make lightly. I'm going to close and we're just going to have a word of prayer. So remember the steps that we have to take. Wait for and wait on the Lord. Ask for the Lord's help. Listen to the Lord's teaching. Be attentive to the Lord's guidance. Throw out all idols in your life. Make choices that are appropriate, that are godly, and God inspired, and make your choices in alignment with God's plan for your life. Ask God what that plan is. Shall we pray? Father God, right now we just want to say thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to make choices, Lord Father. Father God, there was a day when we were bound for hell, but you died on that cross so that you would give us a choice. Whether we choose life or death, blessings or curses, heaven or hell, you opened the door for us, Lord. That we would not all go to hell. That we would not be a cursed generation. But Father God, that final decision of making that choice you have given to us. Father God, I pray, Lord, that every one of us will make the right choice at the right time. Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name, friend, let us stand to our feet. Recollect what you have heard. In our lives, there are choices as given. And it is our responsibility to choose what choice we prefer in our life. As God has spoken to you, meditate on this word. Carry this word with you. Before we close, one question. Is there anybody who do not know Christ or accept Christ as a Lord and Savior in their life? It is not taken granted because we are Christian, we know all the destiny. The destiny is one heaven, another is hell. The only difference Christians make is we know the destiny moving forward towards that destiny. If you do not know the destiny of your life, it's a time for you to know the way. Jesus Christ is the only way for that destiny, for your life, for eternity. If you want to know Jesus Christ in your life, please put up your hand. We will pray with you. Today, you determine to follow Christ. He is the one who leads you to your destiny. Because He is the door and He is the way. There is no other way on this earth. Can I see your hand if you are anybody? Those who do not know Christ or accept Christ in your life? Close your eyes. Bow before Him. As God has spoken to us, we have to thank Him. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege of hearing from You. Lord, thank You for Your servant. Thank You for Your word, what You have spoken through him. Lord, we surrender all of us. Help us to take these words in our hearts. Lord, to obey You, whatever You have spoken to us. Lord, in our ways, please correct us if we are taking a wrong choice. If we are going in a wrong way, here we are, O Father. We know You watch over us. You will guide us. You will lead us only when we seek You diligently. Yes, dear Father, we know the answer is here in the same word. Lord, verse 13 says, "And you will seek me and find me. When you search me with all your heart, and I will be found by you," says the Lord. Father, we thank you for the wonderful promise. Lord, help us to remain in this word and follow this word and seek you and search you in our life in the right way, in the right, Lord, in the right tracks, O Father. Thank you once again for your presence. Thank you for your word. Help us to remain in this word and follow your instruction of today. In Jesus' most exalted name, we pray. Let us share the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Evangelism?
Glory!
Glory.